Welcome to Southeast Geeks, a Silicon Slopes East podcast devoted to what people are geeky about in Southeast Utah. On these podcasts, we interview locals, business owners, and individuals that like to spend time in Southeast Utah for one geeky reason or another. These episodes may be about individuals or companies doing high-tech things in the region or entertaining activities that people are passionate about in Southeast Utah. Today we are talking with Natalie Randall of the Utah Tourism Industry Association. The Utah Tourism Industry Association, or UTIA, is a nonprofit organization that is recognized for the tourism industry to bring education, policy, and networking to its members. Member industries include hotels and lodging, destination marketing organizations, transportation organizations, guides and outfitters, tour operators, restaurants, universities, and others. Natalie, we are excited to have you with us today. How are you?
Good. How are you doing, Michael? Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you on the show, Natalie. Let's go ahead and get started. Unrelated to your employment, can you share with us two or three things that you would say you are geeky about in Southeast Utah?
Sure. The main thing that brought me to Southeast Utah was really the outdoor recreation, and San Juan County, which is where I live in Monticello, is world renowned for that. And so I would say that's probably at the top of my list, is just being able to explore some of the less visited, off the beaten path places in the area, and love doing that by bike or climbing, hiking, and surprisingly skiing in the Abajos too.
Wow. Didn't know about skiing in the Bajos there. What are some of your favorite places to visit while you're here?
I mean, if someone hasn't ever been to the region, I would highly recommend Natural Bridges. It's a national monument just west of Blanding. And there's three bridges there. Beautiful. A lot of times people will compare that to Arches National Park, but these are bridges instead of arches. So water flowed through them. Instead of wind formation. So definitely a must have there. It's also a dark sky park as well. Kind of a hidden gem is Gooseneck State Park, where there's three bends in the San Juan that make the formation of a gooseneck. So definitely another must visit area.
Yeah, I love Gooseneck. It's kind of a pity that this is just a podcast, so we can't actually show video or imagery, because that is such a beautiful area there. Let's talk a little bit about your position with the Utah Tourism Industry Association and what you do with them.
Yeah, so I started in January with the association, so still relatively new. It's unique in that I get to work remotely. So I've been able to stay in Monticello and in the southeastern Utah region, which has been great for myself and for the association. I'm the executive director. And kind of my day-to-day and what I do is I support the membership. We provide the membership with education in the industry, as well as support in educating their stakeholders and other residents of the impact that tourism businesses can have in communities and how the tourism industry can support quality of life and just overall building a community and the amenities within a community. And other elements, there's kind of three pillars to the association. The first being advocacy. And so a big part of what we do is advocate for economy. And a lot of that revolves around the second pillar, which is the education piece and what impacts the tourism economy has on an area. And then activation is the third pillar, which is just engaging members to think outside of their day-to-day business and starting to talk a little bit more with other community members and with community leaders to showcase that the industry does have an impact, whether it's in an area that's well known that there's an impact like Moab or perhaps less known like in Carbon County or in Helper.
I think I wanted to follow up a little bit on that because you used to be your typical 8-to-5 employee person work in an office, but from what I understand, you are a fully remote worker doing this position with UT. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is. So I used to work for San Juan County, actually, and I was the Economic Development and Visitor Services Director there. So went into the county office and worked there traditionally 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. Well, I can't say that so much traditionally, because, you know, economic development directors and other county employees don't really work 9 to 5. They're kind of 24/7 as needed, but in a more traditional setting of an office. And yeah, now my setting has completely shifted. A lot of times I end up working out of my house, which is where I am right now. But part of the industry association is honestly getting to meet the members and the communities that that benefit from the tourism economy. And so one of the remote opportunities that I have is to be being able to travel into those areas and then work from wherever I am in the state. So it's kind of a fun job to be able to do that.
Is this the first time that UT has had remote workers?
No. So UTIA is a relatively small organization compared to others. And so remote workers have been pretty typical for the organization, where there has needed to be a little bit more of that flexibility. One of the previous directors was based in Torrey, Utah. And then another one was based in Camas. Another one prior to me was based in St. George and now in Monticello. So.
Wow, that's awesome that they have that remote work model that the state is trying to begin and implement right now. So let me ask you this. What are some myths or misconceptions about UTIA that maybe you can clear up for us? I mean, there's obviously people know about the Utah Office of Tourism, but UTIA is not the Utah Office of Tourism. Can you maybe elaborate on some of those myths and misconceptions?
Sure. Oftentimes, both organizations are kind of interchangeable in some conversations. The Utah Office of Tourism is really the state office for tourism. It's housed underneath the Governor's Office of Economic Development, or now Governor's Office of Economic Opportunity. And so they are state-based, they're state employees, and they have been known for supporting the outward-facing marketing campaigns that come out and that promote our great state. So Greatest Snow on Earth, Mighty Five, Life Elevated, all of those types of terms that are now common household terms, that's coming out of the Utah Office of Tourism. I will say the Utah Office of Tourism has now started to shift some of their focus as well. They have a communications and partner relations department that they've created. And so now they're starting to engage a little bit more in the stakeholder realm and doing some more education on that end with community leaders and with businesses and growing that their messaging from a stakeholder level at the community level. And the Utah Tourism Industry Association, we're a nonprofit 501c6, and we're solely based on membership. And so a key piece to what makes our organization run are the various members that support our organization. And so we truly are, as UTIA, this place where we both have public and private members. And so we're really this bridge for public and private conversation. And we can have a lot of conversations that might be a little bit harder to have from a state government office. We can have that in the industry sector space. And so both organizations complement each other very well. We work very closely and we have lines that explaining of how we work together and how we can really elevate each other's messaging.
That makes me want to consider my next question that I wanted to ask you is about related to your involvement already with UTIA and then also with previously working with San Juan County. I'm assuming you have some awareness of maybe some of the challenges that Southeast Utah has. What in your mind are some of the greatest challenges that Southeast Utah has, and how is UTIA helping to address those?
So one of the key things with UTIA and within the tourism industry that we are trying to shift, and I think the Association of Governments within our region has done a really great job at doing this, is breaking down the silos. Traditionally, we have economic development in one silo, tourism in another, community development in another, and there's a lack of, you know, cross-pollination, so to speak, of conversations. And so that's been a key topic. You see that coming out of the state with their One Utah initiative. We've already seen Southeastern Utah Association of Governments shifting that conversation by involving all parties at the table in the various stakeholder engagements that the AOG has done. But I think that's the key part, right? So in thinking from that lens for Southeastern Utah, key challenges that we're experiencing that do impact tourism as well are affordable housing. I think that's across the board. Workforce, which is oftentimes tied to housing. So being able to recruit a solid workforce, a skilled workforce, or grow a skilled workforce from individuals within our communities. And then I would also say the third piece that would be an issue is just navigating the varying tourism or visitor products that exist in the region, where you have something that's very developed like Moab, and they're facing a completely different experience with the visitor economy and the impacts of the visitor economy on their communities compared to perhaps areas that are just developing their visitor product or their tourism product, like in Carbon County. And so that's a challenge for a region. As a region, we like to typically move forward together, but there's different levels of where the region is in the tourism realm there.
I had kind of a follow-up question I wanted to ask about TRT taxes. Is this a hot topic in your mind, and is UTIA in a position that they can lobby in that regard, or what would UTIA do related to TRT taxes?
With TRT or transient room tax, that's the hotel tax for everyone that doesn't know what that is, that when you go and stay at a hotel in the state, you have a tax that's added. And part of that tax is a local transient room tax, which goes to the city. There's another piece that goes to the county, and then there's another piece that actually goes to the state as well. And the Utah Tourism Industry Association, a big part of what one of our lobbying roles has been is to lobby for the TRT, specifically the uses of the transient room tax. And it's a complicated topic, but I would say the key things that we're working through in this session is how can we become more sophisticated in thinking through the use of TRT, where every destination is at a different level. Some need the marketing, all of them need the marketing, whether they're trying to recruit visitors or whether they're trying to educate visitors that are in their region visiting. And then also destinations need support with creating their destination product and in the realm of destination development or visitor management and what that looks like. And so that's where it gets complicated because the definition is broad, and every county has a different interpretation of what that definition can look like. And so working with communities, working with counties to try and figure out how to best utilize those funds. The history of the TRT is kind of interesting because it's one of those few taxes, a use tax that was actually advocated for by the industry years and years ago. I think 30, 40 plus years ago, the hotel industry came to the legislature and asked to be taxed and to have that tax created and placed on them and on that product. And a big part of that was the vision that the industry had to say, hey, we're trying to grow our product. We're trying to sell more rooms and to promote Utah as a destination. And so part of that tax we'd like to reserve for marketing in that realm.
I wanted to kind of switch gears a little bit. And part of this is because I know a little bit about you, and also part of it's because I think we're starting to see some development pressures and such in Southeast Utah. So I wanted to ask you, what brought you to Southeast Utah? I know you're not native to the area. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Sure. So I grew up in Northern Virginia, so Falls Church, Virginia, just outside, actually inside the Beltway, East Coast term. So just close to DC, by Arlington, and came out originally and went to school out here. And then after that, graduated, and while I was working up in Salt Lake, met my husband, who's actually a Monticello native, grew up in Monticello. And we eventually got married, didn't know that we'd ever move down here, but he actually ended up starting a guiding business, just how things ended up falling into place for him, and eventually ended up having to make the move down here to be able to support ventures were and what his choices were. It's interesting, I think, because in college, I actually came down and worked at a dude ranch over the border in Durango for a short summer in between like my freshman and sophomore year of college. So spent a lot of time exploring this area and never realized that Monticello was the community, or Blanding was the community, that I was driving through to access a lot of the public lands that I was playing on at the time. So when we ended up moving down to Monticello, realized that and said, wow, had no idea that there was so much in this little community that I just viewed as a drive-through community for so long.
So following up on that a little bit then, you know, you came from a large metropolitan area. You're now in a much smaller area. Do you miss much? Obviously, you've lived in the area for several years. So, I mean, I guess you can live without whatever you're missing, but do you miss much? And what is it that you miss?
Right. I think that's the question that everyone asks, like how all my friends back east, like, how are you living in a place like Monticello where there's just under 2,000 residents, like the size of our graduating high school class for perspective. And it's been interesting. I always joke, like I had a slow trickle down of moving west first and then gradually moving communities that are smaller and smaller till eventually I got to Monticello. So that helped a lot. I would say that overall, there's not much that I miss. My family still lives on the East Coast. And so I get to go visit them and enjoy a lot of the big city things, like the entertainment and the those types of like the concerts and that, and the restaurants and the food, and that element of culture is definitely missed. There's not to say it's absent in San Juan County or in Monticello, because it's very rich down here. There's the Navajo culture that's here, the ancestral Puebloan, and the Western U.S. space as well. And so there's just a different type of culture that exists down here. But I think those are the key things that I probably miss from the big city. And just general access sometimes can be hard, but over time you learn to navigate that and plan ahead and use the resources where you can. And I will say that a lot of the businesses, the joke is locally that we have is if the wife is happy, the family tends to stay. And so it's been interesting to see a lot of the businesses and what the wives have started to develop. So for example, we have a local pharmacist down here who's also our mayor. His wife, granted she grew up down here, but she has built out a little boutique in the pharmacy to kind of supplement, right, that need of being able to shop and experience trying on clothing and different things like that. And so you see that evolving throughout the county of just little businesses that are popping up to help meet that gap of living in a larger city or community.
Well, and I would agree with you to some extent. I used to live on the Wasatch Front and it was fun, but I don't miss it. You know what I mean? And I think it's close enough that I can go there and catch a ball game or go to the theater of some sort of play or do something with family that's still there. But I can live more remotely. I can be not worried about my kids going and playing outside and not worrying about whatever the big city problems are. And with online ordering, with Zoom calls and the occasional trip up north, I don't think I really miss anything. If anything, I think I have a better life living outside of the big city because I don't have road rage and whatever else comes to.
No, I'd agree that with that for sure. I think a big thing that changed, well, we've always been very much into just outdoor recreation, like both myself and Dustin, my husband. And so that was not a hard change, right? Just to, instead of having to drive down 4 hours to be able to go and do a trip, now we just like go out our back door and we're right there. So that piece has always been like a very easy adjustment. But to your point about communities, that's something that's really kept us in the area. We have a 3-year-old now. And after having a kid, there was some type of shift where if I had a desire to leave a local, like a small town, that's gone down even more, just because the community really rallies behind you and supports you and helps you raise, it takes a village to raise a kid, right? They always say that, like Monticello really helps with that. And just the dynamic here and the great neighbors and just that small town feel, there's something to be said about that.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. I'd like to thank you, Natalie, for joining us today. One last question that we like to ask everybody is, on a scale of 1 to 10, how geeky are you about the various things you enjoy in Southeast Utah? And tell us what those are. And then on a scale of 1 to 10, tell us how geeky you are about those things.
I guess number one thing I enjoy in Southeastern Utah is just being able to explore. Specifically in San Juan County, there's over 300 miles of roads, dirt backcountry roads to be explored. And so probably a high 10, if not higher, on just geeking out on different routes on a bike that can be created and where you can go and where you can explore further. That's the number one thing I think I love about exploring a new area or traveling to a new place is finding that unique hidden gem that that area might not be fully known for by the main general public, but should be probably known for more.
Any particular hidden gems that are really a top priority or really geeky for you?
In any area or just in San Juan County?
Southeast Utah would be great anywhere in there.
I joke the monolith, but that's gone now. that was in San Juan County. I would say that for Southeastern Utah, the real hidden gems are the small businesses. There's so many boutique places to stay that are so unique. Everybody's thought of something. There's everything from a dome to a more traditional glamping type site to an old granary that was converted to a speakeasy and a bed and breakfast. There's a lot of creatives down in this region, and they really showcase their product and through their businesses. And so that would probably be the hidden gem that a lot of people just don't realize are down in this area, and that you can really see amazing art and amazing craftsmanship throughout this region.
Well, that is definitely a unique hidden gem that I don't think anybody could experience other than going to some remote place such as Southeast Utah. I appreciate your input and your discussion that we've had today. Any last words of advice or anything you'd like to share with anyone?
No, I appreciate you bringing me on and the opportunity to be able to chat briefly. Thank you for the time.
Until next time, everyone, you've been listening to Southeast Geeks.